I want to start by saying I am pumped for Chiefs victory tonight. As I think about the Super Bowl, it's always been, of all the games of the year in my family, it's a huge, for some reason, celebration. And we weren't always even a family that watched football throughout the regular season. But the Super Bowl, it was always big. And it's always a game that I love being watching and being a part of because I watch it differently. Honestly, there are many Super Bowls that are not as entertaining as some of the other games throughout the season. But for some reason, the Super Bowl is so great, and it's because it's how I enter into it. I recognize that when I watch the Super Bowl, I'm not just sitting on the couch and just watching something. I'm entering in full body. I mean, I remember last year, I was jumping up off the couch. I was pacing around the room, nervous. My whole body was involved in what was happening. And I bring that up because I think when we look at the Gospels, when we look at how Christ in his ministry enters into physical healing, it's not just about making a statement about his power. It's saying something about the integrity of the human person. It's saying that we are not just brains or souls detached from what is real. We are mind, body, and soul. The integrity of the human person, the fullness of what the human person is called out in the Gospels when Christ heals. Otherwise, why would he heal? There are other ways to give his message, to preach his message. He's not just a moral teacher, but he's coming to make a statement about the importance of the physical reality of the human person. That from the beginning, the plan for salvation has been the redemption of humanity in our totality. And so for us to see, especially this healing, Simon's mother-in-law, I think the beauty of it is that after being healed, she physically responds. It wasn't enough for her to just pray and say in her mind, "Thank you, Lord." She actually physically responds in her gratitude. She gets up and waits on them, waited on them. The original word, diakonos, servant, from where we get deacon. We see that physical response of a person who is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so for today, for our mass catechesis, we're looking at what is our physical response entering into the celebration of the mass. We're looking at our postures and our gestures. That we don't just come to mass to sit to be entertained. If that was the reason, then we should just wait for the Super Bowl. What we are entering into is prayer that is a whole expression of the entire human person. It's not just our voices, it's not just our minds, it's not just our spirits, it's our bodies as well. And so in the rubrics, in what is prescribed and written out to follow the instructions for the Mass, there are specific postures and gestures that are literally written for us as the body of Christ to partake in. And so I want to focus first on three postures that are stated within the rite, within the ritual of the Mass. First, and the first one that we do, is standing. We stand when we begin Mass. Standing we see as this stance of reverence, of honor, recognizing the importance of something outside of ourself. It's also a stance that, if you think in a military fashion, there would be this receiving of orders. So we see this attention, standing at attention, at the parts of the Mass where we are in attention, where we are honoring something, whether it's the presence of Christ or the entrance of the procession, Christ being made present in the celebration, whether it's the receiving of our instruction when the gospel is proclaimed, the words and the actions of Christ. We see standing as this posture of honor, of attention. Sitting. I know a lot of times we don't even think about intentionality when it comes to sitting. It's just what we do. I'm sitting down, I'm kicking back, I'm relaxing. If that's what you're doing right now, there are much better chairs to relax in than these. It's not about just sitting and putting our feet up, letting our minds wander as Father talks about who knows what in the homily. Sitting is an intentional posture. When we sit in the Mass, we do it intentionally at specific times because it is a posture of learning and receiving. And so when we sit and we settle in, let us intentionally think, wait a minute, I'm sitting down so that I can receive. When we sit, let's make our prayer one of asking our hearts to be open to receptivity, like we see modeled in the Blessed Virgin Mary as she receives the Holy Spirit into her heart at the incarnation. Sitting, a posture of receptivity and receiving. And then the third posture that we see within the rubrics is that of kneeling. Kneeling is a posture that the early church pulls in, and what we see now is seen as this posture of adoration. The early church saw that civilly speaking, people would kneel before the emperor. And they said, wait a minute, our emperor is the King of Kings. If we're going to kneel to the emperor, then we should kneel to the King of Kings in adoration. That's because kneeling, it's a posture of humility. When you kneel, you literally cut yourself in half. You're saying, the one to whom I'm kneeling in front of is greater than I am. And so we kneel in adoration, recognizing the presence of the King of Kings. Standing, sitting, kneeling. It's always a joke at the Catholics, all the movement in Mass, but every movement of our posture is intentional. It's meant to move us outside of ourselves. To recognize that by me taking these motions, I'm not just letting something happen to me. I'm not just here removed from what's happening, but I'm a part of an increasing reality of my salvation, an increasing reality deeper and deeper into a relationship with Christ who fulfills the heart, who makes it complete and full. And so I want to jump over and focus on a couple gestures that are prescribed and says that the assembly does within the celebration of the Mass. The first that I want to talk about, the first gesture, is that of bowing. We recognize bowing culturally even as kind of this sign of reverence, of honor towards another or towards something. And so we have two types of bowing in the Mass. The first is just a simple head bow. This head bow is prescribed a couple different places. The first is when names worthy of honor are spoken. And so the first of which, the persons of the Holy Trinity. The rubrics say, the instruction of the Mass says, when the name of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is said, We bow our head, a simple head bow, to honor and recognize that Trinitarian God who we believe, this communion of persons who is our God. We bow in recognition and honor of that name. In reverence of that name, we bow recognizing who it is we're here, who it is we're entering into a relationship with. Other than that, when the name of Jesus Christ himself is said, or the name of Mary, or if we're celebrating a specific saint, the saint of the day, anytime those words are mentioned, this recognition of one outside of myself, we bow our head in honor. The other time that we have a simple head bow prescribed is literally when we approach the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, our Savior, at communion. The church says when we go to receive communion that we show a sign of reverence, a simple head bow. What a humble and yet powerful movement of the body that communicates to us a greater truth. And so those moments when we're like, honestly, I'm not sure what I believe at this point. I'm not sure what's going on in my mind or my heart. The movement of our bodies is meant to draw us into a reality outside of ourselves. By honoring and reverencing the names of those spoken, the Trinity, Jesus Christ, Mary, the saint of the day, we are showing that we need salvation outside of ourselves. None of us are enough to save ourselves. None of us can save ourselves. We need a Savior. And so by our physical movements into that reality, we're drawn out of this lie that we can do it ourselves. And by our postures, our gestures, we're reminded, no, we're entering into something much bigger than ourselves. The two other quick gestures that I want to speak towards, the first, During the penitential act, when we recite the Confiteor, when we say, I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned. That moment where we're recognizing that we are all sinners. We are all in need of salvation. We're in need of a Savior. When we say, through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault, we strike our chests. It's in the instructions to do that. And for us to stop and think, why am I doing this? Well, first of all, it's not a bruising of our chest. We're not saying, I'm a sinner and I need to be punished, so it better hurt when I strike my heart. No, this movement, this is in recognition that the heart needs to be awoken. That sin, the reality of sin, is that we made a choice that's against love. That our hearts that are made to will the good of others above ourselves, that heart that is made in the image of love itself, we made choices against that. And when we sin, it deadens our heart. Our heart that's meant to be on fire with love is growing cold and stale. And so when we admit that right at the beginning, we say, awaken, heart. Awaken, come alive to the reality that we are about to enter into. Enter into to this reality, this sacrifice of love. The other part of gestures that I want to bring up is the signing of the senses that comes when the gospel is proclaimed. When the gospel is introduced, and this one, I love this one, because originally it was just the minister that it said, after introducing the gospel, the minister signs his head and his lips and his heart. And then eventually we see added into the rubrics, and then the people follow with the same action. This reality that the gospel message, the truth that is spoken by Christ himself, is meant to be imprinted on our minds and our words and in our heart, so that when we leave here, that we have inscribed the gospel truth in all that we think and all that we say and all that we do, shows forth that truth. And so when I'm struggling to get my mind or my heart into it, the physical movement is meant to draw me there. We don't say, inscribe on my heart, inscribe on my lips, inscribe on my, we don't actually say it. The movement of our body is communicating that truth and that reality to our hearts and to our minds and into our words. Now I saved, I'm gonna jump back to the bowing, because there is a second type of bowing that we have within the Mass. And this is a profound bow. A profound bow, it's at the waist. It's not just a simple head bow, but it's a profound bow. And it's saved for two places within the Mass. The two that I'm going to highlight. The first is to the altar. When we enter into the church, we genuflect to the tabernacle, recognizing the presence of Christ there. Once Mass begins, once we enter into the sanctuary and into this celebration, the presence of Christ is the altar. It's the place of sacrifice. It's where the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior is going to be present. It is Calvary. And so we reverence and honor that spot by bowing. And so when the lectors or the ministers, when we come in or out of the sanctuary, we're bowing to the altar. We bow to the presence of Christ as seen in the altar. And the other place that we profound bow is in the creed. In the creed, when we speak of the descent of the Holy Spirit upon Mary, when we speak of the incarnation, when we recognize that the Holy Spirit is descending, any time that the Holy Spirit descends, we profound bow in recognition of that great act of love. That a God who didn't have to have a relationship with us, a God who didn't have to give us life, didn't have to invite us into the work of our very salvation, he becomes man. A God who could have stayed abstract as humanity struggled, he chooses to become physical. He chooses to become like us, so that we may become like him. And so we bow during those lines that state the incarnation, those lines within the creed. Except for one day, you might remember at Christmas, we're instructed to kneel. We kneel in adoration of that incarnational truth, that we have a God who is constantly inviting us into not just a mental, not just a spiritual relationship, but a physical, mental, spiritual relationship of our entire being. And so when we enter into that relationship, let's not just see ourselves as some brains in some weird experimental reality, but that we are full human persons being invited into relationship. May our response not be one that is removed. May it not be one that is only kept in the spiritual realm, but may we respond totally, mind, soul, body. May our response grow and grow and grow to become more human. May we grow in our human response to our God. May we, one step at a time, enter more fully into this relationship that our God, who becomes physical, makes available to us. May our response also be physical. May our response be total, so that as complete human beings, we are entering into a relationship with a God who desires relationship with each and every one of us.